18 years ago, I was on a personal spiritual retreat in this little gingerbread kind of looking house on the property of Unity Village. If you've been to Unity Village, our headquarters, you've probably seen these little houses I'm talking about. This particular one was called Harmony House, kind of tucked away a little bit in the woods and a place for silent personal retreat. So I was in the right place to be doing what I was doing. And I had this intention. It was, I don't know, maybe about a month or so before Easter, and I wanted to really get inside the Easter experience. You know, I was a ministerial student, so I, you know, full on wanted to have these experiences. And so so that was my intention. And so I decided to reread all the different gospel accounts of the story and the things that led up to this great dramatic experience we call Easter. And so I reread, you know, when Jesus cleansed the temple of the money changers, that scenario, and when the disciples all gathered at the Last Supper and he washed their feet, this really beautiful, honoring experience, and they broke bread together for the last time, and he, you know, they shared the ceremony of communion, and who was going to betray him was revealed. I mean, there was high drama going on. And then cut to the next scene, we're over in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus is praying, you know, let this cup pass from me, let me be spared. And then, you know, pretty quickly he was able to shift from that very human prayer into this or something better, basically, thy will be done, you know. And that was also the time when, the disciples fell asleep on him when he wanted a little bit of support. But anyway, he was arrested, he was tried, there was the, you know, the high drama scene of Pontius Pilate struggling with a moral decision and the people chanting and the will of the people being heard and these shouts. And finally, we get to the big 3 days that happen, right? The crucifixion of Jesus, the tomb-like silence on Saturday, and then the glorious resurrection on Sunday where Mary Magdalene discovers him. So after rereading all of that, I took out a piece of paper, and this was all just sort of instinctively. I drew a cross, and at the corner of each of the four ends of that cross, I wrote something that I wanted to crucify. That's a pretty strong word, but it means basically cross out. What did I want to let go within myself and through myself? What was it time to shed? And then I flipped the page over, and I drew a kite. It sort of connected on the opposite side those four points, but a very different kind of image that felt to me like the risen Christ, right? What wants to rise up in me, wants to be resurrected? What am I calling forth or allowing Spirit to call forth through me? So you know that old adage, be careful what you pray for? It's a pretty wise one. So now I've learned, always add a little clause of gentleness when you're going in for the big event. You know, when you're calling forth that kind of personal and spiritual transformation, it doesn't hurt to ask for the process to be a bit gentle. My life got very dramatically different after that. It felt in some ways like everything I knew and clung to at that time as comfort sort of dispersed. That was my personal experience. It doesn't mean it will be yours. But in that experience, what happened was I was 2 months later, I was going to be experiencing my holy union. That's what we called it back then when gay weddings weren't, you know, legal or recognized in that way. And so I asked a friend of mine if she would say grace at the reception. And maybe I said the grace, would you say the, you know, grace, and she didn't know what I meant, and I said, you know, the prayer that grace, the grace prayer. But she heard the grace prayer. So imagine my surprise when she got up to share and bless the meal and bless our union with this prayer that's inspired by the last words of Jesus on the cross. Not really the same kind of energy that you expect to mark a new beginning, you know, this sort of traumatic letting go. And so this is the prayer that we all heard at that time. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. Thy will be my will. Heal me at depth. Reveal that which needs to be revealed and heal that which needs to be healed so I may glorify God. I was thinking, interesting choice. And so, as it were, the marriage fell apart actually quite quickly. And there was this tomb-like experience for me before, even because I was also graduating and being ordained about the same time. And so it was just this sort of very quiet, dark time of figuring out what my life was about then and what was next and who was I now and what did I, you know, what did I want for myself? And so it took a while, but the good was definitely revealed through that process. My prayer was realized. I got to get inside the Easter experience. That's what I asked for. And it was through the power of this prayer, really, that kind of reflected this process for me. So I did learn more about myself. I did reveal more of what I wanted. I learned about compassion, you know, and really felt from a firsthand experience how I could relate to others when they were going through loss, especially, you know, the loss of relationship or ideas of what their future looked like. And so all of that was a gain. Yes, it was painful. But, you know, it, unlike Easter, it didn't take a mere 3 days to get through that. It took a little longer, but that's okay. In the end, and probably most of all, what I gained was a really deeper understanding of and willingness to commit within myself, to really make commitment. And that commitment that I was making above all else was a deeper commitment to spirit and to the spiritual journey. So I don't tell you this story to scare you off from using this prayer. I tell you this story to invite us into the power that words and prayer and intent can bring forth for us. And so the prayer that we're using today, the grace prayer, is one to use when we're really serious about wanting to bring forth the very best in us, when we're wanting to allow what isn't working to fall away, and we're willing for that kind of transformation to happen. It feels to me like the power of the prayer matches the power of our times. And so that's why the prayer chose us today. I didn't choose it. It definitely chose us as the close of this series. I also recommend that when using it, you add that clause for gentleness, if that feels right for you. And while our current series is about persevering, this is prayers of perseverance, through this collective time, it's also about what do we want to preserve? What are sort of the things that we want to keep and really accentuate? And what are the things that it's time to retire, to give thanks to? I'm thinking about Marie Kondo now and the tidying up where she holds the object that she's releasing and she says, does this spark joy? And if it doesn't, there's this really honoring, this gratitude as we set it aside into the release pile. It's kind of like that process, right? What goes on inside of us is much like a decluttering kind of process. It's just, it's much bigger. It's on a much bigger scale. It has a much bigger weightiness to it than just the physical movement. But like when we're decluttering, you know how it is that you'll like all of a sudden you'll find some hidden treasure that you haven't seen. And I don't know how often you clean things out, but sometimes I haven't seen it in 20 years, you know. It's like, wow, I forgot about this. And it brings forth those memories and it touches our heart and connects us in a new way. It's like, how would we have found that hidden gem had we not removed the dross, the things that were on top of it that were blocking the light? It's the same experience for us inside to take this kind of prayer and this kind of journey that lets us shed, let go, cross out what isn't working for us. So the truth and the wholeness and the authenticity that wants to be known through our soul's truth wants to be known has room to come forth like that. So it also feels like the right time that this prayer chose us because there is a mass cleansing going on, you know? This is really a time of cleansing. We're cleansing our bodies, we're cleansing our homes, we're cleansing our institutions. There is a lot of clearing out going on and sorting out. And so it sometimes feels a little chaotic when that's happening, but that's just a part of the process. We're only in the process. It's not complete yet. And so it's part of it behooves us to accept that it's just part of the journey, right? Not about the destination, as we like to say when we talk about a spiritual journey. So the grace prayer itself involves commitment, it involves surrender, it involves healing and revealing and glory. I want to take some time to just sort of break down each of the components of the prayer before we bring it back together. So the first line, commitment, into thy hands I commit my spirit. This is a willingness to recommit. It is a commitment, not just a willingness, but a recommitment to the spirit of our being, a recommitment to our journey, a recommitment to that relationship and that experience of oneness that we have with the spirit within us. It's a willingness to say, I commit my spirit again. I commit myself to spirit, to the divine journey, to all that comes with that experience. And so when we do that, we join forces with love. You know, God, love, it's a really another word, isn't it, for love? That there's a joining in that power of love that heals, that reveals, that moves us forward in our world. And even if our resurrection isn't immediate, when we commit for the duration. And so to allow ourselves to say, yeah, I'm recommitting, and to not forget that we're doing all this as a community. It may not feel like that all the time because we're not all sitting in the same room together, but we are just as strongly connected as a community. And maybe in some ways you can tune into it even more so because you don't have the crutch of the physical presence so much. But you know, heart to heart, soul to soul, this is not something that you have to walk completely alone, that you have support when you make this kind of commitment. The next line is about surrender, really. It's thy will be my will. It's an alignment, an allowing, a letting go. You know, back in the garden, Jesus was doing this, right? He had that very human prayer that said, ugh, I don't really want to go through with this. But then, all right, I'm going to surrender in faith. I'm going to take this curious, faithful, adventurous journey. I might be scared, but here it goes, you know. It's kind of the same for us. If I were to expound upon the prayer that he gave, the short prayer, it would feel and sound a little bit more like this. I'd rather not go through this, whatever it is. Divorce, disease, pandemic, election, death, whatever it is that we're facing, right? I'd rather not go through this. I think it helps to just say that, to make that a part of our prayer, to claim what we are resisting or fearing. And then to recognize, but there is a bigger picture here. And I trust that the best outcome will unfold. So I let the divine will be done through me and as me. That's where we surrender, right? I trust, I have faith, so I'm just going to let it happen through me and as me. And I'm going to put spirit in charge of my being. That's that back to that recommitment, right? So as we align our personal will with the divine will in us, we commit not just to spirit, but to the mystery of life, the mystery of spirit that is there too. I think that's part of the reason why we're a little bit hesitant to go there, because in the mystery, we can't, it's the unknown, right? We enter the mystery not knowing necessarily, not seeing every next step. And so it makes us generally uncomfortable, especially our egoic mind that likes to have the controls. So that's part of this, is stepping into that mystery. Felicia McBarton recently gave me a novel signed by Joyce Carol Oates, and it was 800 pages. That is a really thick novel. I don't usually make much time to read novels, although I enjoy them. But it came into my life, and it came from beloved Felicia, so I thought, well, I'm going to take a look. So I was curious about the title, intrigued by the title. The title is Night, Sleep, Death, the Stars. Well, I had to read to page 723 before this little hidden gem got unearthed about what the title really was. The whole thing is about a family and a story of losing their father and kind of how all the characters, all the members of the family go through their own process of grief and self-transformation. And so getting to this, though, revealed on page 723 was the mystery, A Clear Midnight, a poem by Walt Whitman. This is your hour, O soul, it goes, your free flight into the wordless, away from books, away from art, the day erased, the lesson done. You, fully forth, emerging, silent, gazing, pondering the themes you love best, night, sleep, death, the stars. It's through those mysteries of life and spirit that we find ourselves, that we find and expose this sort of hidden gems of our souls, of our journey, of what really is the truth of who we are and our next step in our spiritual evolution. And it's through these kinds of themes, you know, pondering things at night, sleep, death, the stars. It all came together. I won't say it made sense, because the mystery isn't really about making sense of things, but it's more pondering and opening and expanding to the wonder and the awe of it all. Like when you look at a starry sky and you just go, whoa, and you keep looking and you notice how things move and how they light up, and sometimes you get to see the shooting stars and the falling stars and the layers of depth in the Milky Way. And when we do that, we recognize, wow, there is so much, right? There is so much more than the eye generally sees. But even seeing that with our eyes makes us recognize that truth. What is reflected from above is also below and within. So like the sun, the best of us arises, right? The best of us comes up every morning again after that mysterious night. And so the best of us always gets resurrected. To remember that truth when we're going through the darkest of times or the most chaotic seeming times, to hang on to that faith and that truth is key. We don't always get to see when. That's part of the revealing, you know, and the healing. But knowing that through those processes of mystery, of darkness, of fear, of uncertainty, of chaos, there is that one thing we can always hang on to, the practice of prayer. Any prayer that speaks to us or speaks through us, a prayer from our heart, or just sitting in the stillness and feeling that presence, all the ways that we pray and meditate gives us that kind of solidity, that kind of foundation, that kind of sense of centering. All the gifts that come from prayer, right? The solace, the comfort, the reassurance. Deidre Francois, we've had her sing for us recently before. She has this beautiful song called Pray. Let's listen.
Hello, beautiful family. I'm just so blessed and honored to be here with you and to share this time together. You know, when I wrote this song, I was going through a tough time, and it was exactly what I needed to bring comfort. When you are in doubt and darkness surrounds you, pray. When heartache consumes you, no one to turn to, pray. I listen to your pain. I hear you call my name. There's no judgment in my eyes, just a purifying flame. To me, all who are weary, pray. Reach out your hand, I'm gonna carry you, pray. Come on to me, all who are weary, pray, and I will give you when problems engulf you, when everyone depends on you, pray. When guilt suffocates you and loved ones desert you, pray. I feel you tear apart, Fear is gripping at your heart. There's no judgment in my eyes. Come to me, I'm where you stand. Come unto me, all who are weary, reach out your hand and I'm gonna carry you. And I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I hear the curtain fall out of control, spinning like a ball. You've given it your all, but now I'm waiting for you. Does work, but we truly do need to believe in it. We do need to surrender to it. Come unto me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. I hope that touches your heart today. Come unto me, all who are weary. Reach out your hand, I'm gonna carry you. Pray. Come unto me, all who are weary. Pray. And I will give you
I hope you can draw comfort from that. Come unto me, all who are weary, and pray. And also to recognize, you know, when we pray, the time that we pray, that sort of a lot of us, and when I say pray, I also mean meditate. I just mean the whole practice, you know, of connecting with the divine. Those bridges between night and day and night are really beautiful times to pray. I like to pray in the morning because it sort of brings that mystery of the night into the day, you know, and that we're still in that kind of night sleep, the stars. According to the grace prayer, all we need to do is let the divine be in charge to give our concerns over to grace. And so the next line is about healing. Heal me, or the next couple lines, heal me at depth. Heal whatever needs to be healed. So there's a recognition both of the calling forth of the healing on every level of being, mentally, physically, in our hearts, emotionally, in all ways, relationally maybe, around us, in the world, and our relationship with the world around us. Whatever we want to have healed, we're kind of giving it over and trusting. God knows what that is. And then heal whatever needs to be healed, essentially. Sometimes we don't know, you know, it's grief or it's old wounds. It's something that we don't realize is sort of knocking around in there that needs to be released. And so if we just speak to that truth that I want to be healed at depth, whatever that is, my limited ways of seeing and being, whatever it is that's getting in my way, and then to trust that the healing comes. My goddaughter Grace and I were looking at and talking about the wonder of how the body heals. You know, she has, or used to when she was much younger. She's 7 now, so she's grown out of this. But she used to pick at her scabs, and her mom would always get really mad at her, don't pick at your scab because it won't heal as well, and so on. And so we're just sort of looking at the magnificence of the body and how healing happens naturally if we leave it alone, right? So if we keep picking with our worrisome thoughts at something, we're going to delay the healing process. But if instead we just pray, heal me at depth, heal whatever needs to be healed, and let it go and trust, that's going to be the most effective way for the healing to happen in us and through us. we can't always see what's going on in the healing process, right? We can, I mean, if we have, like, I have a blister on my finger from gardening, and I can look at that and see a little bit more on the outside what's happening where my skin is healing. But a lot of times we don't get to see that process, and we, even that, we can't see underneath all the layers of skin. So there is a quiet kind of process happening, an invisible process happening. But it does happen. We all know how our hearts have healed after heartbreak. We all know how our minds can heal after difficulties that we go through. So every part of us can heal. We just need to trust it and give it over again. Heal me at depth. And we can't always see everything, you know, because sometimes bigger things get healed than maybe we even intended or that we saw. And that's part of the revealing process, right? This line about reveal what needs to be revealed. So whatever I need to know, let me know. Otherwise, I'm good that it's just happening, and to know that it's just happening and it's taken care of. So that's also a process for us in the healing to also to the ways that we move through our daily lives, this reveal whatever needs to be revealed. It's a lot like a dance. You know, this mystery of life is a bit of a dance of life. And if we take the position of the follow, and again, let spirit be the lead, let spirit be in charge. If you think about a dance, you can't always see where you're going, right? If you're the follow, you have to trust that there's space on the floor or wherever it is that you're dancing. You have to trust that the moves will be showed to you one at a time, and that you'll trust them, you'll feel them, you'll feel the music, you'll feel the moves, you'll feel the nudge, whatever it is that you're feeling. And so if we can be a good follow to that lead, then what needs to be revealed will be revealed when we need to know it and how we need to know it, whatever it is that we need to see and to know. The big reveal is, of course, the I am of us. That's when, you know, we really get to see a glimpse or appearing or maybe a full-blown experience of the divine in us being fully embodied, fully known to us, fully seen to us. That's what we tend to move toward in our spiritual journey, is that big reveal. Taken together, you could think of it as the lowercase I am is the healing, and the big uppercase I am is the revealing. That's the dance that's happening there. And all this surrendering, all this revealing, all this stuff that happens in the grace prayer, for what? The last sentence, so that I can glorify God. And what does that really mean? It means to honor the divine, right? To honor the divinity in myself, to honor the divinity in others, to honor the truth of our world, to honor the power of love to heal and to reveal. And all of that happens by us stepping further into it. And so then the glorification, the amplification, if you will, of divine, of the light and the love and the truth happens through us. That's why we're doing it all, in other words, so that I can glorify God, so that I can honor the divine in the world, so that I can cherish life itself, so that I can be a good steward of life, so that I can be the best that I can be in the world. That's the point. And so that's how it all comes together, being the best expression we can be of God on earth. It doesn't have to be Easter, although I'm pretty curious what's going to happen around Easter 2021. It doesn't have to be Easter to have these experiences of powerful self and worldly transformation. You know, I believe we're standing in it. We're standing in Walt Whitman's Clear Midnight. We're standing in a time where there is night and sleep and the mystery of death and the stars. And so it's okay, because the soul, as he fully forth emerges from that. And that's what it's all about. And what is midnight anyway but that marker, that cusp of morning, right? That new beginning, that coming of the light. You may not be seeing it or experiencing it right now, but rest assured, grace is at work. Grace is at work in us. Grace is at work in our world. Grace has got it and is moving through all these channels. We help channel that grace. We help be that grace by stepping in, by committing, by surrendering, by giving over to the healing and the revealing and the glorification of the divine that wants to happen as us and through us in the world. The grace prayer invites us to give over our personal control. And so that's probably the biggest hurdle for many of us, to let go a little bit, maybe a little bit every day we can do, a little bit more of a giving over, just a hair. And that will add up to something cumulatively powerful. Deep healing will happen in us and everywhere present if we pray, letting the mystery of life unfold. And in time, truth reveals herself. So the grace prayer is a proclamation of deep commitment to spirit. And I hope you will consider moving into this prayer this week and to work with it some. Maybe to add a little gentleness to it, if you're concerned about my story at the beginning. But to know that the power of transformation is available to us, that's the key that we hold when we use certain prayers, certain words that we believe and feel in our hearts and genuinely speak into being through our prayers. So I invite you to affirm this with me. I'm not going to say the whole prayer, just sort of the bring in a little bit of the essence of it so it's easier for us to remember. And and you can find the grace chant by Richard Medici online too if you want to chant along with the same prayer. So let's close out with this affirmation together. I commit myself to spirit. I am healed and I am revealed through life's mystery. And so it is.